I'm Levi Weinhagen, Communications and Media Specialist at the Minnesota Council on Foundations, and this is the Fast Forward Podcast, our conversations with leaders, big thinkers in the field of philanthropy and grantmaking. Today features my conversation with Communications Director at the Bush Foundation, Dominic Washington, where he talks about strategy at the Bush Foundation and about how he got into the work that he's doing. Here we go. So I'm talking to Dominic Washington, and you're the Communications Director at the Bush Foundation?
That's correct.
Before we started recording, you even, I think, articulated that this is essentially a conversation about how to talk about things.
Yeah, we're talking about how to talk about stuff.
So basically, this may be a snake eating its own tail.
But, I mean, if you ever came across that in the wild, you'd be totally fascinated, right?
I would, yeah. I would
totally.
Have to watch.
I think.
Scared, but fascinated.
Yeah, I think we're going to give people a real treat here.
So, I sort of basic first things first, how long have you been in this role at the Bush Foundation?
I started at the Bush Foundation in June of 2013. So, by math, that's almost 3 years.
So, you can do math as well as words?
Barely. But,
okay.
But yes, occasionally.
And you have sort of a diverse background. I mean, you've done some political work?
Yeah, so I've had a number of jobs in my career, and each one has been in an entirely different sector. After I graduated from college, I went out to Washington, D.C., and worked on Capitol Hill for Tom Daschle, who was the senator for my home state of South Dakota. From there, I came to Minnesota. I worked briefly for an organization called Grassroots Solutions, so checked off my consulting organization box, and then moved to Planned Parenthood, Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota, and was there for a number of years before moving on to United Health Group. So went from the nonprofit to a corporate entity, and then after leaving United Health Group, went to the University of Chicago in their School of Public Policy, so academic. And so when my family made the decision to move back to Minnesota from Chicago, I thought, well, the only thing I really haven't done yet is philanthropy. And so luckily for me, I was putting that out in my head because I got tipped off to an opportunity at the Bush Foundation. So made my way here in June, and it's been just wonderful.
And I want to get into the work of the Bush Foundation, but I'm curious, of that timeline, do you see a through line?
Yeah. So I always like to tell people that, you know, I'm a communications person. Like that's my job. That's my trade. And, you know, I'm kind of like a plumber, you know, like pipes are pipes, whether it's a apartment building or a townhouse or a mansion, the pipes are the pipes. And so the work is the work. I think the through line for me personally has been, you know, sort of the purpose behind the work of the organization that I've been with, or the individual, as it might be, in some cases, like in politics. What I've really enjoyed at a number of points in my career, including now, is that I've worked in places that have had meaningful impact in places that I love. So I'm born and raised in South Dakota, went to college in South Dakota, and then I've moved to Minnesota and love this state, and so the opportunity to, you know, really now be in a position to work for an organization that's, you know, really supporting and inspiring people to do great things in those places is super rewarding.
So one of the reasons I was excited to talk to you is you're the communications director at Bush, and I see that as an organization that really seems to value the role of communications in philanthropic work,
mm-hmm.
like seeing it not just, oh, we should make sure our press releases don't have a lot of typos,
yeah.
but as another way to support the work that you're doing.
Right.
Like a really important, you know, it's not just about money, it's mm-hmm. how else can we support the things we're funding, and the change makers mm-hmm. in the state or in the places that you work. Is mm-hmm. is that accurate?
That's totally accurate. And when we think about communications at the foundation, I don't think we're alone in this by any stretch of the imagination. I think there are others put a lot of effort into this and resources into it. But what we really think about is that, you know, it's one thing to, you know, give an organization or give an individual resources to do something good. You know, if we did that, you know, if that's all we did, we could pat ourselves on the back, feel really good about the work that we're doing. But if we can help tell that individual's story, share with a broader audience why we think they're great, why we are investing in the work that they are doing, then that can have the, create an opportunity to attract more support for that individual or for that organization, whether it be financial support or, people support, skills and connection and even beyond just, sort of the helping to inspire additional investment in that organization. Hopefully, if we're doing things right, we're able to inspire somebody else to say, they see this organization, they see this individual doing something and say to themselves, hey, well, I want to take on a challenge in my community, or I want to really develop my leadership capacity in some way, and I'm going to go do it. And so that's also a big part of, the purpose behind this emphasis on communications is really that, helping to inspire others to do great things.
And that seems like that then enhances the investment. So it's a way of getting more even for your dollar.
Yeah. So if I were back in my, United Health Group days, I would call that a value add.
Yeah.
And that's really, if you think about, foundations or funders in general, like everything we do should be having some sort of impact on the community. Whether that's, and the most prominent way we do that is by, providing money to organizations and individuals, investing in ideas and people. But we can also do that, in the communications realm by helping promote them and attracting more support and inspiring others to do great things. Even on the internal side, like the development approach, our work in HR, but what we call leadership and talent development, is creating an environment for our staff to, be able to grow and pursue, their passions. Because if we invest in the staff that we have, we're not, assuming that everybody who gets a job at the Bush Foundation is just going to stay there forever. We expect people to have ambitions and want to move on to what might be bigger and better things. And if we can help them do that, that's just another way in which we're supporting the community. So something I around the office call it sort of whole pig philanthropy. Nobody likes me saying that because it's a disgusting metaphor.
Hoof to snout.
Yeah, but it really is in everything that we do, are we having some sort of impact and being, just being really thoughtful about that. Nothing is really left unturned.
Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between the actual communication staff, program officers, program manager, leadership? There can be times, I know, in this kind of work where a program officer gets a project going and then things are already fully in motion, then they go to someone in communications and they go, I need you to help me put this out on the website or put this thing out. And that's one approach, and I think that's pretty common, and some of that's just everyone's in a panic and there's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
But can you talk about how those relationships work, that you can all be sort of really working in partnership and serving all the things you want to serve?
Well, I mean, it helps that we have a staff of just 40 people. So this is not a huge, Byzantine organization that we need compasses to navigate. I mean, we are literally sitting next to or across from people from program offices or program officers or leadership, and there is a real culture of collaboration within our foundation. I can't speak to others because this is the only foundation I've ever worked at, but. I'm not the only person at the foundation who values communications. It starts from the top. Our president really values communications. The program staff really value and understand the importance of communications and want to have our perspective and point of view included when developing programs, when running programs. And what the challenge is, I think, is how do you operationalize that? You know, how do you make that part of, you know, sort of your day-to-day work? And that's something that we continue to work on. You know, one of my team members, you know, right this year is really kind of thinking through our process for working with program staff. That's 100%, you know, not 100%, but a large percentage of her job is really maintaining that connection with the program staff, understanding what it is that, what their goals are for a particular, you know, period of time, and then thinking through, you know, with the broader communications group and everybody else, how we can help advance that.
Do you have print systems in place? Is there like one or two?
Yeah, so we, you know, we just do, you know, regular, pretty regular check-in meetings with our program teams, and we're actually in the process of developing a more formal review process, and oddly enough, we're modeling it after the budget review process that we have in place. So every year we, you know, create our budgets in September and present those, and then quarterly throughout the year, you know, your program team meets with the president of the foundation, the CFO, and the controller, and they go through your budget and say, okay, here's what you spent, here's what you said you were going to spend, here's what you say you want to, you know, spend. Are you actually going to spend that? And it's not a, you know, shaking your finger at you and, you know, chastising you for not spending. It's really like, we need to know kind of where we stand, and it's okay if you say you were going to do something and then weren't able to do it. And so it's really great. It's made budgeting a lot friendlier, a lot more predictive, and at the end of the year, we know exactly where we stand relative to how much money we aimed to get out into the community, and we're able to actually do that. And so we are looking at that as a potential model for us, where right around the same time that teams are thinking about their budgets for the next year, that's the ideal time for us to be talking to them about what they're thinking about communications-wise related to those things that they're going to go ask for money to support, and develop a plan with them. And it's just like, you know, high level, because there are things like our programs do every year. Like, there's, it's not going to change. You know, we have the Bush Fellowship program. That's going to happen every year. Or Community Innovation Grant. Those things are all going to happen. And we kind of know how to support that. But what are the goals of that particular team? And that's the point where we start thinking through how can we help them with the through communications. And then, just the same way that, you know, our finance team has these, what we call the deep dive meetings on the budget, we want to be checking in regularly with the program teams. Like, so you said you were going to, you know, open your grant program, you know, in June. Is that still going to happen? Are you going to start accepting applications? Well, no, we're actually going to move that back to July. Great, now we know, and then we can plan our work. Because in addition to supporting the program teams and the traditional communications work, our team is also responsible for our convening strategies, our events. So there's a lot of stuff that we do. We also produce a magazine annually. And so there's a lot that we're doing. So, you know, understanding and keeping tabs of what our program teams are up to is paramount in order to managing the workload of our staff. So
I know there's a lot of energy in communications in a foundation when you have the staff to do the communications work to support the individuals and organizations whose ideas you're funding. But it also can be really important to do the message of, here's what this foundation's about, here's the work we're doing. A lot of that can happen within telling the story of the programs you're supporting is also telling the story of your work, but there can be space to identify, here's what we're doing and why it matters. How do you think about balancing those things? Do you try to make sure it's not all just being taken care of by telling the stories of the programs?
Well, I think there's the, what's really important, where we are at right now in the Bush Foundation, is over the last 3 years, really building a lot of new programs, making changes to long-standing programs that are very specific in what they are looking to do. So we've been really focused on helping the broader public understand what it is that we're looking to support and how these particular grant programs or fellowships work. And paying a lot of attention to that because, particularly with our community innovation program, the why behind that is to inspire and support problem solving in communities. And so we're not so much focused on a particular issue, which is really easy to explain when you say, I want to support, you know, people who are working to end hunger. We are looking to support organizations that are looking to, you know, deal with homelessness. That's easy to kind of get your head around. But with our community innovation program, it's not so much the issue, it's issue agnostic. What we're really focused on is the process. How are you going about solving that problem? It's the pursuit of a solution that we're supporting as opposed to the solution in and of itself. And so that can be difficult to difficult to explain. You know, and it's also an open process. Anybody can apply, which means you want to make sure that people truly understand what it is that you are looking to support in that particular program. Mm-hmm. So you're not wasting their time, or, you know, so you're attracting, you know, really strong potential grantees. And so there's a lot of focus been paid in that, and then also in our fellowship programs and all the other work that we do. But we are at a point now where we have started to, those programs have started to mature. And in fact, at our last board meeting, which was back just a few weeks ago here in February, you know, we got to report out, and by we, I mean Mandy and Molly, the co-directors of our community innovation program, got to report out for the first time, you know, an impact report on programs or organizations work funded through that program. So that's how new it is. We're just now starting to get enough information to say, this is what's happening. So now that those programs are starting to settle and really, you know, be established, what we are turning our attention to is, you know, why are we working so hard to provide support to process, to the pursuit of solutions? Why are we working so hard to help build leaders through our fellowship program, give opportunities for individuals to develop their leadership? Why are we working in these specific strategic areas? What does that all lead up to? And so that's the good fun that we get to have as communicators now, is telling that story. And it's important because I think people want to understand how they fit into that foundation's vision for, you know, impact, mm-hmm. or its work. The Council for Effective Philanthropy, CEP, does grantee perception reports. And one of the questions is, do you feel like you know how your work helps basically advance the mission of a foundation? And, you know, the folks who run that ask that for a reason, because that is a sign of, you know, really happy grantees who feel like, you know, the foundation gets them. And so that's, and it's also important, you know, for the broader community just to understand. I mean, we're an institution, and there are other institutions that, you know, hold an enormous amount of wealth and are using it in a very deliberate way for public good. And so I think there's really an obligation for the foundation, for the funder, to be very clear about to what end they are, granting this money.
Mm. I like that a lot. Well, here's maybe a wrap-up question.
Sure.
That I didn't prepare you for.
All right.
Which is a fun game to play.
Good. I was not prepared for these previous questions.
That's true. So. But, you know, you're quick on your feet.
Yeah.
Can you think of a specific resource or outlet you think people working in philanthropy should be paying attention to, something they should be reading, something they should be aware of, aside from B Magazine.
Right, which, you know, obviously.
Obviously, that's the...
I really, and, you know, there's probably a bias here because we are, supporters of this organization, but the work that Pollen is doing, www.pollenmidwest.org, is really fascinating in my mind, that, you know, work to really tell stories of individuals and the work that individuals are doing in their communities across, you know, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, is really important, and giving a platform for, you know, others to share their own stories. And I think that's important because, you know, the foundation, you know, we say we invest in great ideas and the people who power them. And our organization is very much focused on people, because even if we're granting to an organization, that organization is led by individuals, led by people. It's not...
No robot organizations.
No robot organizations. And so, you know, our focus is really, really on people. And, you know, the work that they do and the way in which they tell stories of really fascinating people in this region, and how they approach their work and what drives them and inspires them is really important, I think, because they are focusing on people who, you know, they're just living their lives, like everyday people. These are not people who have all necessarily, you know, sort of positional power, but they have immense power in the community and world in which they, you know, exist. And I think one of the things, having grown up in South Dakota and, you know, working for an organization that is, you know, very decidedly committed to investing in people and helping them develop their leadership capacity, one of the things I'm aware of is that, you know, in the Midwest, you know, we tend to think of others as leaders, and this is one of the challenges that we have in our fellowship program, is getting really amazing people who are doing amazing things to see themselves as amazing. There's the sort of the baked in humility, I guess, that's, you know, in the water. I don't know, but to be able to lift up individuals and really shine a light on the work that they do and why it's important, I think is great, and I wish more people did it, but I think Pollen does it really super well.
I like the idea of humility water.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on Twitter or connect with you in other ways?
Yeah, I am on Twitter. It's the @, right?
Yeah.
D.A. Washington. My name is too long to be its own Twitter handle, which is sad. And so, yeah, you can follow me there. You can follow the Bush Foundation on Twitter. I'm on Instagram at Dominic Washington, but that's just pictures of my kids. So, you know, if you're one of those people who get really super annoyed at kid pictures, just, you know, probably not for you.
Well, thanks a lot for talking to me, Dominic.
Yeah, thanks, Levi.